Yes, the subject today is what's going on in your head? What's going on inside of your head? It strikes me that so many of the issues and the sufferings that we go through as human beings is to do with wrong thinking. It's to do with how we think, what we are thinking, how we are processing things in our head. Now, you just listen to Samuel, and I know there's many well-qualified medical people here. I'm not one of them, so I'm not going to give you any medical advice. What I'm going to bring out is the Word of God, because the Scripture teaches us that the law of God is superior to the law of sin. There is a superior way to deal with issues that the Scripture tells us, and that's what we are going to be reminded of today. I'm sure you'll be very familiar with the Scriptures, but it's one thing to know the Scripture, and it's a different thing to apply it in our day-to-day life. Although we are born again, we are not exempt from all the troubles of life. We still go through pandemics. We can go through sickness. We can go through lacks. We can go through disappointments and shame. We can go through all the things that other people, but as born again believers, when we go through it, the way that we respond should be different. The way that we respond should be different. The Lord loves you and me so much. The Lord Jesus Christ loves you dearly. He does not condemn you. He is for you. And today He wants to bring greater healing into your heart. A lot of the songs were about the heart today. It's all about heart condition, isn't it? And the Lord wants to bring us into a deeper healing in our hearts and our innermost being. Let's just pray. Father God, we open up our innermost being to you today. Father God, we just open up completely and we say, Spirit of God, come and wash us afresh. The washing by your word and by your spirit, that we may see and have greater revelation of the truth of your word and apply it in our day-to-day life. In the name of Jesus we pray. We hear so much about phobias, panic attack, anxiety. So I looked up, what's a phobia? On NHS website, it says a phobia is an overwhelming and deliberating fear of an object, place, situation, feeling, or animal. Phobias are more pronounced than fears. They develop when a person has an exaggerated or unrealistic sense of danger about a situation or object. So that's what a phobia is. So we've got phobia. Panic attacks can become phobias. You've got a lot of anxiety. And you know that a lot of time the way that the world will respond typically is through various therapy or even medication, which can alter the state of consciousness of the person. But that's not what the Word of God gives us as the answer. So, these things are learned behavior. So if they are learned behavior, ask yourself, can a learned behavior become unlearned? The answer is yes. You can unlearn. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 10:5, which is very familiar to all of us. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. imaginations. Remember, when we read the definition of a phobia, it's talking about exaggerated or unrealistic dangers, that things that are exaggerated. Where does that take place? Inside our heads. All of this takes place inside of our heads. How are we thinking about things? How are we thinking about it? But your mind can be renewed, because the scripture talks about the renewing of the mind. So, if you are struggling in areas like these, it can be undone. It can be undone. How? By being washed and saturated and flushing out of your thoughts by the Word of God, by the truth of the scripture. Ephesians 5, 26 to 27. This is talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, that he might sanctify and cleanse her. That's talking about the church. So the church is you and I. Sanctify and cleanse the church with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself as a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So a believer can become clean, cleansed by the flushing with the word of God. The way I think about it is, imagine that you grow your potatoes in the garden and you go out and you dig out your potatoes and you bring them into your kitchen. They're going to be dirty, aren't they? They're going to be dirty. The dirtier they are, the more water you need. Huh? You flush them under the tap, and you're going to have to flush them a lot if they're really dirty. And that's the way I think about our mind. Our mind gets corrupted because we have these learned behaviors because of the world that we live in. We get corrupted in our mind and our way of thinking from our peers, from the news, from the environment, from everything around us. And so that contamination, that dirt, has to be washed away inside of our head. And the way it gets washed is by the truth of the Word of God. The world will say to you, you're not very good. You're rubbish. You're too tall, or you're too small, or you're too thin, or you're too this, whatever. But it's not the Word of God. And so those thoughts or those imaginations, if you take those thoughts and let them run wild inside of your head, you could start disliking yourself and you could start hating yourself. It is not the truth. But the truth of the Word of God says that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. And you're made in the image of God. You are precious. You are precious. Every human being is so precious, but the enemy tries to pull you down. So you need to have your thoughts, that what is going on inside of your head needs to be washed by the truth of the Word of God. And if we spend 90% of our time out in the world listening to that input and only a tiny bit to the Word of God, our way of thinking will be corrupt. We need to have the balance, and we need to allow, that's what we read in the Corinthians, that we need to cast down those imaginations and say, no, no, I am not going to think like that. Philippians 4:6 says, be anxious for nothing. Oh, is that a challenge to you? Do you ever get anxious about anything? I think if we're really honest with ourselves, we have found ourselves getting anxious about something. But it's not the teaching of Jesus. He clearly tells us, be anxious for nothing, to have no anxiety. When I was a young teenager and I still lived at home, we used to have a family friend that used to come and stay for the weekend. And my mother was fascinated with the way this young man lived his life. And my mother, I remember one day said to him, his name was Fleming, she said, "Fleming, do you never worry about anything?" And he says, "No." And she said, "How can you possibly live like that?" Because as a mother of five children, my mother was always worrying about things. But the scripture tells us he was actually living his life according to the word of God. That is how the Lord wants you to live, without anxiety, without being pulled down. Our bodies are not made for all of these anxiety and phobias. That's, you know, our bodies react to that. We are not made for that. The Lord has paid the price for us to live, yes, in this world, but to live without anxiety. Listen to the words of Jesus. Luke 12, 22 to 24. Then he said to his disciples, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, nor about the body, what you will put on. Life is more than food, and the body is more than clothing. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which have neither storehouse nor barn, and God feeds them. Oh, how much more value are you than the birds?" We know these verses so well, don't we? But are we applying them in our everyday life? Are we applying them? This has to be active upstairs in our way of thinking. This has to be. So, we probably have all had situations where something traumatic took place and you find yourself, you wake up during the night and the event is running on in your head. Have you ever had that? Some kind of traumatic thing and it's, you're going over it in your head. 5 minutes later, you're still thinking about it. 10 minutes later, you're still thinking about it. And the longer you dwell on it, very often, the more exaggerated it becomes. You're no longer thinking about today, you're thinking about tomorrow. All of these phobias, anxiety, doesn't allow you to think about right now. It's always about, what if this tomorrow? What if that tomorrow? It's not staying in the now, it's always projecting in the future and exaggerating worst case. But the Lord says, no, no, no. So that's why Paul wrote in Corinthians, you've got to take that imagination and throw it down immediately. So how come, how does it get into your head? It gets into your head and it makes you feel like a really bad Christian. Doesn't it? I feel a terrible Christian when it goes on and on and on and I catch myself like this. If it hasn't happened to you yet, you must be very young. That's all I can say. You must be very young. Because most of us have experienced it. Well, we're going to look at how Jesus was tempted. How was Jesus tempted? Somebody spoke to him. The devil spoke to him. So do you think if the devil spoke to Jesus and that's how he was tempted, do you think somebody's going to speak to you? Huh? So remember, not every thought that flies past into your head, not every thought comes from yourself. Not every thought is of your own. This is something that's really important for us to grasp. I want to, you to see it in Scripture. That's how Paul says, take those imaginations that don't line up with the Word of God and just throw them down and say, no, you've got to resist. When you know it's not true, resist it from the beginning. Don't let it spiral out of control and get yourself unwell. You've got to resist that. Matthew 6:34. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own thing. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. But phobias don't let you think about today, constantly making you think about tomorrow and projecting into the future and creating all this anxiety. But 2 Timothy 1:7 says, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind, praise God. So we need to have our minds renewed. In Romans chapter 7, it talks all about the law of God and that we're to be anxious for nothing, but to meditate on the law of God day and night. The law of sin will say, yeah, I'm thinking about all these things, and I'm thinking about everything that can go wrong, and I'm listening to the news, and what if this happens to me, and what if this happens to my child or my family, and what if this happens, and it spirals out of control. That is the law of sin, but the law of God is higher. Isaiah 26:3, you will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. We were singing Psalm 23. We were singing Psalm 23 and we were singing, I will trust in you. You see, you declare your trust in the Lord. The panic attacks is your body's responding to the phobias, the learned behavior, meditating on things that could go wrong, not taking every thought captive, not casting down every imagination, but being anxious for everything. That's the spirit of fear. And God has not given us a spirit of fear. Jesus shows us how to defeat the devil. Jesus shows us how to defeat every demonic thought that tries to plant itself inside your head. If we think that we are tested or tempted, look at Jesus. Melvin mentioned it this morning, he was tested in every way that we are. Let's go to Luke 4:2-4. Being tempted for 40 days by the devil. Remember, Jesus was in the wilderness for 40 days a night. And in those days, he ate nothing. And afterwards, when he had ended, he was hungry. But I don't know if I try to fast for a day, I can feel myself going grumpy. Do you feel that? Mm-hmm. Do you not know that if you have to phone a customer service line, if you phone them just before lunchtime, you're likely to get a grumpy person. But if you phone them after lunchtime, you'll get a better service. These are real statistics. That is just for people not having eaten for 3 or 4 hours. Jesus didn't eat for 40 days. How grumpy would I be? I don't know if I would still be alive, never mind being grumpy. But I'm just saying, this is, Jesus was truly, truly, truly tempted. 40 days he was hungry, and the devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread. And Jesus answers, saying, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Amen. Pay attention to the fact that, you know, Jesus was tempted all through the 40 days. But there's just 3 temptations that are described in detail in the Gospels, right? You know that. And the devil does it by speaking, words going in into the head of Jesus. This is how you're going to be tempted. Words that come into your head. Now, whether when you hear the words, whether you hear them audibly or they come into your mind as thoughts, it's the same thing. Yes? So whether the devil spoke to Jesus audibly or into his mind, it's the same thing. It goes on inside our heads. So that's how Jesus was tempted. So we should expect to be tempted like that as well, with thoughts. Nobody goes out and commits a murder without first having thought about something that really makes them angry, and they make it spiral and they get into a rage and they think, I need to take revenge. You see, there's a whole thing that goes on inside somebody's head before they go and commit some kind of act. I'm not suggesting any of us do that, because we know the Lord has blessed us a lot more than that. I'm just saying, even for smaller things, it starts with the way that we think inside of our head. And this is what happened to Jesus. The first thing that the enemy always attacks, if you are the Son of God, your identity. The devil always tries, demons will try to pull down your identity, because you are fearfully and wonderfully made. You are made, I am made in the image of God. There's somebody that's jealous of that. Lucifer was not made in the image of God. We are made. We haven't even fully understood how precious we are in the sight of God. We are made in the image of God. We are loved. He gave his life for us. That's the first thing that will be attacked, is your identity. That's what the young people nowadays, even as babies. As you know, we just became grandparents. And then they're having to already plan ahead for nurseries and everything, and reading up on the nursery. And then what do they read? This woke agenda. I'm thinking, this child is only 1 week old, and you already get woke agendas trying to creep in. That's the enemy tempting and disputing identity. You know, are you really a boy? Are you really a girl? It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. In the very beginning, God said, male and female, he made them. That's it. That's it. It's simple. It's not really confusing. It's very simple. So temptation will come through our thoughts. Ephesians 4:23 onwards, be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man, which was created according to God, in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. So we have to have a renewing of our mind. We have to put on a new mind. But then he speaks here real tangible about not to let the sun go down on your anger. So what's that about? Something upsets us. We try to go to bed at night, you can't sleep. I'm sure you've experienced this. Something happened, you think, that's terrible. And it's going on in your mind. It's okay to get angry, but be careful not to sin. It's what the scripture says. Jesus was angry. He was angry at the sin. But look at the way he spoke to the sinners. Look at the compassion he had with the sinners. Jesus was grieved when the people had hard hearts. They wouldn't open up. He was so grieved. And he's like, I can't save you because you're so hard. You won't listen. You won't let me in. I can't save you. He was grieved at that. But we, be angry. angry and sin not. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. What does it mean to give place to the devil? What do you think that means? It's opening a door for the demonic. Because the wages of sin is death. So if we choose sin, getting angry out of control is a sin. Being anxious is a sin, because Jesus says be anxious for nothing. And when we choose that path over and over and over, we're opening the door. We're opening the door for demonics. This is what it says, to give place to the devil. We're opening the door for the darkness. So the scripture tells us, don't do that. The Lord wants to set us free. The Lord wants to set us completely free from all of these things. He wants us free. And then down in verse 31, 32, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. So we're not to give place for the devil or for any demons. Don't allow the rage to go on. And you to forgive one another. Oh, this is so difficult for us as human beings, the forgiveness piece. I don't know how many times I've heard people saying, oh, but I'm not able to forgive. Very often that's an indication that through choosing not to forgive over and over, a spirit of unforgiveness has entered in. But the minute that we bind that spirit, then the person is free to make a choice. And as a child of God, praise God, most times people choose, yes, I choose the path of forgiveness. This has nothing to do with your feelings, by the way, or my feelings. It's a choice that we make because God has given us a will that's really strong. When we bind the unforgiving spirit, a person can choose to release forgiveness in obedience to the word of God and by applying His love, not our own love, but His love to the situation. 2 Corinthians 2:10 and 11. Now whom you forgive anything, I also forgive, writes Paul. For if indeed I have forgiven anything, I have forgiven that one for your sakes in the presence of Christ, lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. What's his devices? Get you out of spirals, trying to get you to fall in sin over and over, and open the door for the demons. But in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, they are defeated and can be cast out. And the Lord teaches us to live victorious lives. He has paid the price for that. But we must recognize the spirits behind. In all of these scriptures, do you see how it was the devil that tempted Jesus? But the scripture says he had nothing on Jesus. So Jesus just walked out filled with the Holy Spirit. But very often he has something on us because we've got some sin. So we need to confess our sin before God. When we confess our sin, we are forgiven just like that. Then we can stand in his righteousness. And the enemy has nothing on us. Why? Because we're clothed in the righteousness of Christ. Praise God. And we've got to learn to live that. When you feel these attacks come, because you will be tempted. You young people, you teenagers, you will be tempted inside of your head. Be aware, it is not your own thought. This is the enemy trying to tempt you. Resist it. Resist it. Quote the word of God. That's how Jesus answered. It is written. This is how we overcome. Yes, there will be temptations, but you can overcome. I can overcome. So wonderful Learning this process takes us a lifetime, doesn't it? It takes us a lifetime. Let's allow the washing of the Word and the renewing of the Spirit. There's nothing new. Everything is really the same as what happened in the Garden of Eden. I'll finish with that. In Genesis 3, verse 6. Remember when Eve was tempted. She was tempted in three areas. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that's the lust of the flesh, food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, that's the lust of the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, that's the pride of life, she took of its fruit and ate, and she also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. So you have these three areas, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. They were the same three categories that the Gospels describe that Jesus was tempted in. And Jesus defeated the enemy in every one of them. He never sinned. So Jesus defeated the enemy. His victory becomes your victory. Be blessed today. Allow the washing of the Word. Practice this. When you feel your thoughts trying to spiral or anger trying to enter into you, apply and quote the Word of God. When the enemy talks down to you and belittles you, you tell him you are made in the image of God. Come on, you tell him, because the Word of God, the law of God, is superior. It's superior to the law of sin. And we live by the law of God. We are redeemed by his blood. He has paid the price for us to live a life of success, as in victory. Yes, we will be tempted, but by the washing of the Word and by the Holy Spirit, we too can